This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, the business of America is small business, and I welcome the small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, as well as our hometown newspaper, The Philadelphia Inquirer, back from the road speaking to associations and unions across America, small business, first in San Diego and then in Salt Lake City, Gene Marks. Gene, a very good evening to you. Before we use the statistics to tell the story of the slowdown, your conversations with the Woodworking Machinery Industrial Association in San Diego and the Utah Credit Union Association in Salt Lake City. Is there confidence that the slowdown is being managed well, or is there alarm? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. No one really knows. There's still a lot of uncertainty that's out there. The people in the Woodworking Machinery Industry Association are eyeball deep in the world of manufacturing. They make machinery and equipment that goes into whatever other customers are using, you know, wood to manufacture. And that could be anything from furniture to anything else that uses wood. So, they're impacted when their customers stop investing in them. And my takeaway from that meeting is that they're wary and they're uncertain, and they're seeing a slowdown in orders. No one, again, is panicking on this. But I did see a really great, you know, presentation before me where a vendor was showing off a really cool robot that will do cutting and sorting and handling of products on the, on the factory floor. So there's no shortage of investment for the future, John. You know, I mean, and I see that, you know, across the board, even the people at the Utah Credit Union Association, you know, Utah, you know, as a state, actually one of the country's lowest unemployment rates, is still kind of humming along. Credit unions there have individual members. They're also going after small business members as well. My job is to just let them know of all the headaches and challenges we have as small businesses, you know, or the regulations we face and the cash flow problems we have and the tax issues we have, so they can better connect and relate to them. But they're also seeing the same level of uncertainty that the woodworking machinery people are seeing as well. So as I go to association after association, I'm not seeing panic. I'm not seeing people freaking out. I'm seeing calmness and observations being made and plotting by a lot of these companies and organizations to just navigate their way around what is turning out to be a slowed economy.
Fed set to raise interest rates to 16-year high and debate a pause. Wall Street Journal, officials could keep their options open in crafting signals around the endgame for increases. Any Fed talk in San Diego or Salt Lake City? Enough is enough. Stop now. Anything like that, Gene?
Well, they're starting to really feel pain. The credit union people are in the business of financing, and they're having a hard time making loans now when you know interest rates are that much higher. There's not as many customers for their loans. And don't forget, you know, the Fed's federal funds rate was like 0.25% a year ago. It's gone up 20 times already. And now the Federal Reserve is planning potentially to raise it even more. So it's not just the amount that it's raised, but it's the timeline. It's happened so fast. So now companies are just starting to absorb this stuff. So the credit unions are, again, finding that challenging. And then the machinery equipment people, don't forget, they sell machinery and equipment to companies that are in the, you know, woodworking and manufacturing businesses. So a lot of those companies, they get financing to buy their equipment, and financing costs go up. We now have a prime rate that's over 8% now, or will be over if the Fed funds rate goes even higher. That really puts a contraction on the ability of businesses to buy these people's products, their equipment, and, you know, is a real concern to a lot of these people. So, you know, yeah, they're concerned by all of this. I raised other concerns that now that interest rates are as high as they are, suddenly interest as part of the federal deficit becomes a bigger component. And, you know, unless we want to raise taxes or cut expenses, how do you deal with that other than printing more money? So that raised concern among a lot of the attendees. They're concerned.
And yet the jobs, the Fed watches the jobs. It's watching a slowdown in jobs added. And yet you've pointed me to an article about the 10 states struggling to hire employees. They'll hire if they can. Alaska, Georgia, West Virginia, Louisiana, Virginia. It's a long list. Gene, it's the strangest slowdown. People are fully employed. They have money in their pocket to shop. They're hesitating. But there's no sense of despair. There's instead a puzzlement about the Federal Reserve's ambitions.
I think, John, again, that you and I, maybe we get sucked into society today that we want that sort of immediate gratification of an answer. And, you know, it is, we have to be, you have to wait to see how some of these moves, these policy moves play out in the markets. And we're seeing them play out right now. I can report to you, I know a woman who works in a, you know, in a veterinary company. She's a vet, and she is saying that they're really slowing down. And the reason why is, you know, yeah, there's some competition, but more importantly, people are, you know, are not spending as much money on their pets as they were before, even for health treatments, because the cost of so many other things are higher. You know, they're looking after their own families first before their dogs and their cats. And that to me is another telling sign that consumers are starting to, you know, pull back. The CEOs, the major retailers have been warning us this year. Financing rates are getting that much higher. Compensation is not keeping up with inflation so far. So it is, people are spending more. Things cost a lot more in the grocery store, John, you know, and that it has an impact. It just takes a while for that to occur. And I think that we're going to be seeing that play out through the rest of the year in a slowdown in consumer spending. And when the consumer slows its spending, man, particularly the American consumer, that just reverberates across the worldwide economy.
And then there are the robots who work for very little food, almost none. They work forever, and they're charming. Two stories about chatbot. One, and Gina, I don't know what to make of this. Walmart reports that 75% of its vendors prefer talking to a robot when they negotiate a contract or deals of a conversation. Does this make sense to you, Gene, that you prefer someone who, something that immediately says, listen, I don't have a body, but I'm charming?
John, have you spoken to an experienced purchasing manager lately? It's agony. You want to jump out the window. I can understand why these people would rather just speak to a robot and somebody who's going to negotiate them down on their price. So, if you're trying to sell, you're a vendor for Walmart. Oh my God, do those guys squeeze you pretty bad? These guys go through some significant training. Maybe the robots aren't trained enough yet. You know, they always talk about ChatGPT still needs more training. So the vendors are like able to pull off a fast one with some of these robots that they're not able to do with a human purchasing manager.
All right. Now one of the selling points for a robot is that it only tells the truth. They haven't been able to teach a robot to deceive yet. And we learned we learned this from AI chatbots at Amazon.
Yeah.
People are using OpenAI's ChatGPT to write reviews. And you think, well, a reasonable review about, say, clothing, that how can that cause trouble? Turns out the ChatGPT wants to admit right away that it's a robot. It says repeatedly, as an AI language model, no matter what it's doing. So what we're learning, Gene, is that robots... it's not just that they have a lot to learn. It's that they're being integrated into our ability to shop. And
they have a conscience as well. They care. Well, they want to be fully transparent.
This one is terrific. It's about maternity clothes. As an AI language model, I don't have a body, but I understand the importance of comfortable clothing during pregnancy. How can you not be won over by that, Gene?
I think it's adorable. I really do. And these robots, you know, we're all so afraid of them taking over the world. And like, here they are. They're just honest robots trying to tell it like it is. They don't want to write a fake review if they're not really pregnant. I mean, you know, so maybe we shouldn't be so scared about the future after all.
We can hear Al 9000 saying, I'm just telling you the way it is. Dave, can you hear me, Dave? All right, we move on to employee surveillance. This is also something that could be done with robots. And it's now turning into an argument that is troublesome to employers. How so, Gene?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's, you know, more studies coming out about, you know, surveilling employees, particularly, you know, remote employees, you know, and they're working from home. And you've got these employers that are surveilling them, you know, seeing how productive they are and what they're doing. You know, I find, first of all, that the issue interesting only because it's like the employees, so many employees have been so, you know, visible about, you know, moderate working Mondays or whatever, or quietly quitting, that they're almost asking to be surveyed, you know, by their employers. You know, they're making it obvious that they're not, you know, doing everything they should at home. And so the employers are like, you know, trying to do their thing. I think this whole debate about employee surveillance is just nonsense, John. I mean, I remember when my kids are in middle school and people were telling, other parents were telling us to watch what they do on Facebook. And I remember like spending an hour watching what they do on Facebook and wanting to like jump out the window, you know, like I got better things to do with my time. And I just kind of feel like, you know, you hire grownups to do a job. I don't know why you're doing surveillance on them. They're either delivering, you know, based on their job description or they're not. There's no need to sit there and micromanage their every move during the day, how many clicks they're making or what applications they're using or how long they're at their computer. I just feel like this whole employee surveillance thing is just a waste of time. Employers and managers can be doing something a lot more productive.
Gene Marks is a small business columnist for the Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, as well as the Philadelphia Inquirer. He has a medium.com site where he gathers together his many different publications during the week. And when we come back, Gene will speak of what rising interest rates mean for small businesses right now. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.